Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here it is. We are... I think we're live. Yeah, we're live. How about that? We're back on Facebook.
We missed it last week.
That's right. We're good. We got it.
Back on Facebook. This is, what are we, June 6th. The midday show. We're right around 3 o'clock here on the Pacific time. This is the Doodoo and Foo Show. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dan Doodoo Savage.
I'm Mike Christofoli Foo.
Look at that. Here we are. Whoa! Lost the mic. Don't get crazy now on me, Mr. Microphone.
That's right. Tighten it up now.
Tighten. There we go. Episode 11.
Yeah.
I mean, we hit the double digits yesterday.
We're almost teenagers. Yeah.
And they've been 11 straight weeks, too. We haven't had to do anything. We've been talking about maybe a remote show or at some point, you know, changing the day or whatever. But we've been pretty lucky. Get the ball rolling here today. Got some NBA finals, pretty heavy on NBA finals stuff today. A little touch always on CSN, athletics and, some odd random stuff we're going to do today.
Yeah.
So we got a whole bunch of time and nothing to do with it. There we go. How was your week? Anything fun? As I you mentioned yesterday, a little slow at work.
Yeah. Slow work week. Not the day. The day was slow. The week was slow.
Yeah.
But we'll pick up. Summer's usually slow. We'll see what happens coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm missing a week coming up here anyways. But, and before we kick it off, last week I got to apologize to my buddy Randy over there at the Clancy's Pub over there in Omaha. Called him Barry for some reason.
Randy,
you know,
Barry,
I love you, buddy.
Dave.
But heck, I called Aaliyah Alyssa at the end
Aaliyah
of the show
Alyssa,
last week.
Yeah.
You know, I think I still had the Great Wall of China in my mind, I think, still.
13,000
I was still
miles.
Thinking about calling people different names, but no.
Oh, that's funny.
You know I love you, Randy, and I'll be out there in a few weeks, actually.
Oh, very good. Yeah, you might wear that hat out there.
Oh, I think it's coming with me.
Got that new CSN, the white and the gray with the blue logo. We're looking good.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. Shoot, I probably make so many mistakes every episode of that. Who knows? So you're heading out to Omaha again. That's exciting.
In a few weeks.
I noticed that... You did pretty well bowling yesterday.
No. The first frame was excellent, but after that, I have a good ninth frame too. But after that, anything in between from 2 to 8,
yeah,
and then 10,
it's
I didn't know. Did I pick up a spare? I don't even know if I picked up a spare.
I think I had a couple of spares, a couple of strikes.
But no, bowling was. It had been a couple years since I last bowled, but it was fun. We had a great time.
We went to South Coast celebrate Julie's birthday. She got back from Hawaii and her birthday.
Sun Coast.
Back from Hawaii and she wanted to go bowling, so we brought Brooklyn and Trent and Bree and yourself, and it was good. Julie wanted to do teams because there was six of us, and she picked teams originally and said blah blah blah. I think she said old people versus young people, and then she went guys versus girls. And it was about the third or fourth frame. She's making trades left and right like she's Roger Goodell. And she finally gets her. I'm like, all right, fourth frame. That's it. No more trades. So she gets the team she wants. And I'm sorry she picked you up.
Yeah, well, after that first frame, I looked I was, you know, Pete Weber or something like
see,
that.
You got to set people up, man. Rolling, you get a 7 or an 8 that first ball, and then people are like, I don't want them. And then you crush it for the other team. But it was fun. We had a good time. Bowling's always bowling in Vegas, we kind of talked about it yesterday, has always been it's a big history in Julie and I's in our story here in Vegas, because when we were working at the comedy club, almost, I want to say 2-3 nights a week, the comedians who work the club always want to go do something, whether it's just go to a bar and hang out, or they want to go to just something, do something. And I'm telling you, 8 out of 10 times they want to go bowling. Yeah. And so we'd just be bringing these celebrity comedians to the Suncoast or the, you know, the Orleans later. And so bowling was a big, and then obviously our people, you know, Sarah and Yaya and Charity and all that crew. We used to have a lot of fun bowling, because it used to be $1 frame, $1 shoes, $1 beer. Like it was $1 to go bowling. It was
so cheap to go bowling.
And it's still not terrible, but it's not a buck anymore. No, that's for sure. So we had some fun yesterday. That was good.
Good times.
Always getting out doing something different. So let's see. Yeah, we got a bunch. I'll just touch on the CSN stuff. We had our coaches retreat this week. So it's something we do every year. It's a 2-day retreat. And it's funny, because our new athletic director, Yvonne Wade, and all of us, our previous athletic director used to call it the retreat, but it was at the school, and it didn't feel like a retreat. It felt like 2 days of meetings. So Yvonne, now this being her first year, decided to try to make it a little bit more of a retreat, and shut it down to 1 day for head coaches and assistant coaches, because we try to get all the coaches from all the sports there. And she moved it to Top Golf. So we had a really nice morning of just covering the basics. Lindy LaRocque came in from coach from UNLV, came in and had a really nice chat. She's awesome. And then we got to hang out with a taco bar and all kinds of food and drinks and hit some golf balls and have some fun. So that retreat was pretty good. But one thing I can say that I know I've touched on in previous shows is women's basketball got a lot of love in that meeting. The top GPA for the spring, which was really big for us. We had a 3.599 team GPA, which was awesome. Only one player under a 3.0, and we're going to work to get her back up. I actually called her the next day.
Right.
You know, it's tough, because she still had pretty good grades, but our standard is just so high here. Just because it helps her recruiting.
Absolutely.
And we don't want to talk about, you know, we want these, when I recruit these young players, we let them know that, you know, we talk about academics first. Everybody kind of talks about it. Well, we live it. It is part of our DNA. Yeah. You must do well in the classroom. You must connect with your professors. And if you do that, basketball is easier, because you're not as stressed about having to do study halls and things of that nature. So it was pretty good. And our players are off and running. I was saying that Aaliyah just FaceTimed me from her stadium out there at Utah Tech, and she couldn't figure out how to set up the new shooting machine. So I kind of walked her through that. And Jordan's off to Tennessee. She's out there.
Yeah.
KB leaves on the 23rd here for New York. And then Paige will head out, and Jess is down in the Philippines. So other than that, you know, we're starting to get our new players in and get their paperwork done and open gyms. We got some really nice transfers. We just announced 2 yesterday. Kayla Terry from Golden West College averaged 20 some odd points a game, and I think 17 rebounds a game.
Solid.
And then Bree Mendes, who another Vegas kid who went to Mount Mary in Wisconsin, went to a 4-year school out there, and her freshman year she was named freshman of the conference. She's transferring here. And they all have their reasons. So we're excited. It's a fun time of year for the coaches, because we can kind of get ready, prepare, and you know, welcome these new players in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's not much else on the CSN side. I think the big thing to really talk about, I know we're probably heavy on basketball, but now we're in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And starts tonight.
Tonight.
We got a huge TV in the gym.
Shoot.
So we're putting it up on the TV during open gym.
Okay,
so
awesome. Yeah,
we're going to have a big old TV in there.
Good.
So we'll have the game up while the girls are playing. And so we got the Celtics and the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
I was just doing some research. I got some questions for you, some trivia.
Yep.
ESPN just put out on ESPN Plus, they asked 17 of their you know, experts there, you know, their top NBA or sports guys at ESPN, who's going to win in how many games and who's going to be the MVP. So 17 results. What do you think of those 17 results from ESPN smart people? How many picked the Mavs? How many picked the Celtics? What would you guess?
I would say they split.
Within
a
game.
Well, you can't split to 17, but you know what I mean, 9-8.
Within a game. Yeah. You did, 9-8.
Yeah.
Now, who got 9?
I'll say Boston.
It was the Mavs.
It was the Mavs. I know people are high on the Mavs in this. I figured Boston because of the home court, but
Seven of them said Mavs in 6, so they'll win it at their place.
Yeah.
Two said Mavs in 7. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 said Celtics in 7, which is what I think, actually.
Yeah.
And 3 said Celtics in 6. The MVP race was everywhere from, you know, Tatum to Luka to Kyrie. A couple Jaylen Browns in there. I think the style of play is, I don't want to say it's going to be tough for Boston, but I think the Mavs are just playing tough.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
You know,
anytime you got Luka, and like we said last week and the week before, talking about Kyrie, Kyrie, he head down and played basketball this year. No nonsense, off-court stuff. And like we said, look where it got them. They're playing well.
Yeah.
But Boston, I don't know if Boston's defense gets enough credit. I don't know. But I think that could be a factor in this series. You like them in 7. I like them in 6.
Yep.
The home court, you know the Garden. The Garden's it's going to be.
I do, and they're going to be nuts on Kyrie. I mean, they're going to go bananas. He's going to have his sage out there.
Yeah.
And obviously, he stomped on the logo a few years ago. And there's all that drama, which is not really drama, just play ball. But I'll tell you, the Celts haven't been great in games 1 and 2 in the playoffs. So when they've won, they've struggled to win, like game 1 against Indiana overtime.
Yeah.
So I don't think they have that. You know, you work so hard to get that home court, and they haven't really snatched up home court. Like, I'm talking convincingly, like
control.
They had some big wins, but they more like got out to big leads and then barely won or won in overtime. So I don't know, man. I don't have a good feeling about home court as much as you should. Like, if you're the number one team, you won the most games in the NBA, you should be feeling good about your home court. And as a fan, I don't feel great.
What do you think Porzingis does coming back? Do you think it makes that big of a difference? It makes him deeper, obviously, if he's 100%, of course.
Listen, Al Horford's been hooping.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
And Al Horford
he's hungry.
He's hungry.
Yeah.
This might be his last shot.
Oh, yeah. He's like in the top two of like all-time playoff games without winning the ring. And he even said it, you know, after that game was that game 6, I guess it was, right? No, game 4, the sweep. I'm sorry, the game. He's hungry. He goes, I'm hungry.
So
he is hooping, yes.
That's kind of my answer is, I don't know, man. Is a 80% Porzingis better than 100% hungry Al Horford?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're going to split minutes. And, you know, they actually said today, don't be shocked if Al starts the game and they bring Porzingis.
Oh, I could see that, for sure.
So,
for sure.
You know, but there's all kinds of you know, Kyrie is what it is. Drew Holiday said, they said, how are you going to defend him? He said, pray. Like, come on. He said, I'm praying. He's like,
he's realistic about it. Yeah.
He's like, I know his game. He knows my defense.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good matchup, but there's no stopping Kyrie. He's getting where he's going to get. He's going to get his hoops. And then you go to Luka. And of course, Luka is just such an amazing player. And they dropped some stats about how to defend Luka with that screen and roll. Because he's, you know, I think Boston has the athletes to defend him straight up one-on-one. It's when you add that screen in where they screen with their 5. So they force you to have a 5 cover him if you switch.
Right.
Or if you drop, he puts his defender in jail, and he's just too good at that.
Yeah.
So they were saying that and I think we're getting into the weeds a little bit here with basketball, but they were saying the most effective coverage against Luka with that high screen and roll is the blitz, where both players, defensive players, just blitz him, and you get a crackback from a defender and some rotation, right?
Yeah.
And even if they do drop it to the big, make Lively or one of those guys make a good decision. Just get it out of Luka's hand is basically
correct.
The point. So we'll see. The Celtics are the absolute last in the NBA on blitzing, on pick and roll coverage. They do it the least of anybody. The least.
Okay.
So,
because they rely on their athletes to
So we'll see what Mazzulla does.
Yeah.
It's he's been getting a lot of, I don't know if you've seen this, but he's been getting a lot of praise throughout the world. Everybody's got a podcast and a blog, and
sure.
Missoula's been getting some love from people, man. Like, yeah. LeBron was like, this guy's a genius.
Well deserved. Look where we got this team.
It's not easy, man. It's not easy. You know, man. You can have all the players. You tell me. Look at Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Or look at Phoenix. Like, yeah. A super team.
Phoenix got swept.
They got swept.
Yeah.
So it's so don't tell me that you got. You know, it's easy to coach these guys. It's no. Not. There's some
coaches have a lot to do with it. The coach has a lot to do with it, man.
Yeah.
More so than I think people will give coaches credit for.
Yeah, like, it's like coach's fault when we lose the right, players. Of course, yeah. Right.
No, but when you know, when you set up game winning plays at the end of, you know, at the end of a game, yeah. that's coaching.
Or a game winning defensive strategy.
Game winning defensive strategy, absolutely.
How about correct. This one?
Yes.
This is one I'd never heard before. And again, it was on I can't remember the name of it, but JJ Redick and LeBron's podcast. Never heard of this. And now that I hear it and I listen to it like 10 times before I really, not really 10 times, but I had to listen to it a couple times to understand it. And they said something Joe Mazzulla did.
Okay.
In game, the overtime game one versus Indiana.
Yep.
They got a nice little lead.
Yep.
They were up six. I want to say like under 30 seconds left.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Indiana has the ball. Celtics are up six. Yep. Indiana has the ball. Mazzulla fouls on purpose, up six. And LeBron was like, he's a freaking genius because they go to the line. The best they can do is make two and it's still a two-possession
game. Two and not a three.
And unless NBA players are so elite, they hit a three.
Yeah.
Now it's a one-possession game. He's like, this freaking guy, and somebody else just did it too. And that's what J.J. Redick was saying. And I'm sitting here going, I don't know if at the women's college, I don't want to say, well, it's not the NBA, but – ooh, it's risky,
I think,
but it still keeps it a two-possession game.
Keeps it a two-possession game, you're right.
But now, you get the ball back in your hand.
But you got to think of it on the other end, too. If they miss the three, not only that, you're taking time off the clock by letting them inbound it as well, right? Yeah. So you let the time run.
It wasn't a dead ball foul. It was let them bring the ball up, foul them before they get into a shooting motion.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so they take some time off. A little
different, yeah, okay.
But, you know, foul them as soon as they get over half court before, because nobody's expecting it, because nobody's ever fouled up six.
Right.
And LeBron was like, he kept saying he's a genius, man. He's like, because if they come down and hit a three, now it's a one-possession game. But if they come down, you foul them, and they make two, it's still a two-possession game.
He's like,
isn't that crazy?
Well, you got to hope your guys make your free throws.
You do. And then, of course, now you're in the NBA, right? So now you're up. You probably have timeouts. Now you can call a timeout, set up a play to get the ball in your best free throw shooter's hands, as opposed to they shoot it, miss it, your big's probably going to get a rebound to get in front. Right. Now you got to. So there was so much to it.
There's a lot to go into that. Isn't that crazy? Absolutely. Yeah.
Up six. I had to listen to it twice, and I was like, wait a minute. Does he mean down six?
Right.
Like, I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And but then, you know, us coaches, we're always learning. Yeah, I got about 50 books up there. Yeah. And I, you know, there's all kinds of situations you can read and look into. What? Eric Lopes. Hey,
Eric.
Fubu, Dufu, Celtics and seven. Eric Lopes said Celtics and seven.
Okay.
That's my bet too. I'm a Celtics and seven guy. I'm just hoping you talk about the Garden or the Fleet Center or the whatever it's called. What is it nowadays? It's not the Fleet Center.
We'll always call it the Garden.
Yeah, we'll always call it the Garden. But TD North, TD Bank, TD something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tutty. It's the Tutty TD. Who knows?
Eric,
yeah, what is
ring
it?
Ring it in.
Fire it in. Tutty. Tutty's one of his family's members' nicknames. Celtics. All right, so I got a couple Celtics things. Let's get the ball rolling here, okay? I got a couple fill in the blanks. I got a couple top tens for you. We're just going to keep it going. We're going to stay with the Celtics because I'm trying to give some good mojo to the Celtics by talking about them quite a bit today as the final start tonight. Top 10 single season point per game averages all time in Celtics history. And there's no duplicates, which is crazy. It's not like somebody got.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no duplicates. There's 10 names, no duplicates.
Oh, wow.
So top 10 and fire away in the chat if you're on Facebook, if you think you know. I think there's a lot of Celtics fans. If you're listening in, there's some Celtics fans out here. Top 10 players with the highest points per game all time.
So, like, if Larry Bird led the Celtics in scoring in 88, that's one right there.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if he did it in 88. Boom. Okay.
Larry Bird, number two. 29.9 points per game. You got number two.
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell is not on the list.
He was more of a shot blocker, rebounder kind of guy.
I'll tell you, I'm going to give you the lowest number.
Okay.
Okay. 23.4 points per game is the top 10, is number 10.
Okay. So it's 10 different guys that played for the Celtics.
10 different guys, yeah. And there was one tie, third and fourth spot, tied for third. Two guys had identical points per games. So you got Larry Legend, 29.
Kevin McHale.
Kevin McHale's a great pick. Seventh, 26.1. Yep. But he only did that 1 year. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
So you think about Larry Bird, averaged 29.9. He didn't have another year over 23.4.
See, that's how good that team was.
That's how good the Celtics have been.
Celtics have been, yeah. Oh, there's so many names, man. How about Havlicek?
Havlicek is tied for third, 28.9. John Havlicek stole the ball. I'm sitting here thinking of hints to give you if you don't get them, like earlier, and I'm like, stole the ball. I'm like, oh, he'll get that. He was tied for third. You're going to be shocked who he was tied for third for.
Okay, what about Bob Cousy?
Nope.
Nah, yeah. How about Robert Parrish?
Nope.
No, the Chief? Yeah, see, that was he would play with Bird and McHale and all those
years.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
All right, what about DJ, Dennis Johnson? No. Wow, those are Hall of Famer, too. Never led that team. Dude. Never led the Celtics in scoring. Wow. Okay.
Actually, those guys are way off. They're way down the list when I looked at it, yeah.
Okay.
I would have thought they'd be higher. But when you start thinking of these names, you're going to be like, oh.
Not too sure about this one, but he just popped into my mind because he was an announcer for that team for years. Tommy Heinsohn?
No.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you you got one old school left. Everybody else is newer.
What about Kevin Garnett?
Kevin Garnett? No.
Really?
Somebody else on that team.
Somebody else from that team? I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody from that squad. Oh, Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum is number one.
Yeah.
30.1 points per game.
How about Brown?
Who?
Jaylen Brown.
Oh, Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown.
You said LeBron.
No, Jaylen Brown. I'm sorry, Jaylen Brown.
Calling people, Alyssa, Aaliyah, LeBron, Jaylen Brown.
Randy Barry.
Jaylen Brown's number six. Yeah. 26.2 points per game. Yeah.
Okay. I think on the team there.
You should for sure get two of these. Is the one old school guy.
Okay.
He's kind of in that Cousy and...
trying to think of that team right now.
Yeah. There's one guy there. There's one guy that's playing tonight.
Oh, he's playing tonight? Oh, Kyrie.
Ninth, 24.4.
How many more I got to go?
You got number 10, number 8, number 5, and number 3.
Oh, so I got four more to go.
Yeah, I'll be pumped if you get two of these. That'll be a good list.
Marbury wasn't one of them, was he?
No.
He didn't do much with
the. No, he didn't do much with the Celts.
I'm trying to think now. I'm forgetting some of the '80s teams there too. That was so good. I'm trying to think of that whole team.
Nah, nobody in the '80s.
Nobody from that team, really.
Nope.
Wow. Okay.
Nope. You got one from earlier, and everybody else was later.
Well, McHale and...
All right, let's go back to this one. You got a teammate of KG. Who was the big three?
Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce,
I actually met him at work one day.
Did you?
Yeah, I forgot all about Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce, 26.8. He's in the fifth spot.
He's fifth, and I'm forgetting somebody else on that team. Was there somebody else on that team?
No, from that team. Okay. So now you got one a little earlier, one just after, and then still one from the Russell and Cousy team.
I'm trying to think of that whole old school team there.
25.9. Back then was a lot of points.
Okay. You're talking about, back in that Bill Russell era.
Yeah.
They had Havlicek, they had Cousy. I know I'm forgetting somebody.
How about some initials? Ready?
I used to know that team.
SJ.
SJ. Nah, that's not even ringing a bell either.
Sam Jones.
Oh, Sam. Oh, yeah, Sam Jones. He was voted all-time 50th on the all-time 50 team, I think, 50. Right? 50th anniversary 50, team. Yeah.
25.9 points per game.
Yeah, see, I knew I was, yeah.
So I think you would eventually get number 10. I don't think you're going to get number 3 because I thought it was wrong. Number 10 is Antoine Walker.
Oh, I see. That's, yep. Yep.
23.4. I mean, he took so many shots, he should average a lot more than that.
What era is the other one, the last guy from?
Just after the big three.
Just after that big three. Yeah. Okay. All right. Probably won't get that.
Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Huge year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Forgot about Isaiah.
He tied with John Havlicek. He averaged 28.9 points per game for the Celtics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas. There's the Celtics.
Interesting. Top 10. Top 10. There's not one duplicate in there.
Not one duplicate. You would think Bird.
You would think Bird, yeah.
Like, Bird didn't have a second year over 23.4.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, you don't remember, too. He missed a lot of games, Bird.
Yeah, because of his back. Of course. Yeah.
But he was still great, though.
I'm even shocked that Tatum and Brown haven't had a second year over 23.
Well, because they've been so deep also.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, they're playing together, too.
Together, spreading the wealth, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting.
Very. Yeah, yeah.
Stick with the Celtics a little bit. This is just kind of an interesting one. It's not a fill in the blanks, but I was looking at, just to throw some more Celtic stuff in here, I was looking at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum's 1-5 draft class.
Okay.
Do you remember who the number one pick was in Jaylen Brown's?
Jaylen Brown's, no.
Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Listen to this five.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Brandon Ingram.
Okay.
He was number two.
All right, yeah.
Jaylen Brown was three.
Yeah, Brown was three.
Bender was four.
Jonathan Bender.
No, not Jonathan.
No. Well, Jonathan was before all of that, right, too? I'm thinking of Jonathan Bender, who was drafted by the Pacers, I think, right?
I don't even know this guy's first name. I wonder if it was... was it Dragan Bender?
Yeah, okay.
Dragan Bender from Croatia.
Okay, yeah.
And number five was Chris Dunn from Providence College.
Jeez.
What a terrible
top five other than Brown.
Other than Brown.
Yeah.
So now we're going to compare, and we're going to go Tatum's. People know Tatum's a little bit more, but let's see who's was better.
Tatum was three. Markelle
Fultz was number one.
Yeah, I remember Sixers took him too. Sixers took him and
Ben Simmons.
And Ben Simmons, yeah.
Number two was Lonzo Ball.
Yes, yeah, I do remember
three,
that.
You get Tatum.
Tatum, that was.
Four, you get Josh Jackson. Who the Celtics almost took.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then five, De'Aaron Fox, who's a baller. De'Aaron
Fox, right. He was top scorer this year, yeah.
What? Those are some bad top fives.
No. Tatum, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but I remember telling Felix at the time, I said, man, Tatum, is it good to say fell to three? Is that possible you fall to three? I mean, to me, he should have been the first one in that draft.
I remember the time of the draft, and the buzz with Lonzo was so big that I could understand them taking him one because the buzz was big, and he did okay at UCLA, but you could just see something different with him. I felt like something was different, but I thought I didn't see it with Fultz at all.
Because they were talking point guard. Sixers needed a point guard. That's why he went number one.
But I didn't see Fultz at all. But and then when the Celtics were talking about Josh Jackson, I kind of wasn't either way. Of course, I'm a Duke fan, so a chance to get Tatum. I'm like, man, if we can get Tatum in this draft, it's a steal.
Yeah.
And of course, we get him. It's kind of like Paul Pierce. What did he drop to, 11 when he came out of Kansas or something like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, he should have been 3-4, 2-3-4.
Yeah.
He went to 11 and the Celtics got him.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had our ups and downs with trades. I mean, with drafts, obviously, you know, you get some guys like A.C. Earl, and there was some guys that should have been big but weren't. And then you get Tatum and Brown, boom, boom, both at the three spot.
They drafted well, obviously, there.
Yeah.
Picked them three, and they've proven their worth with the third pick in the whole draft, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Let's get off basketball for a minute.
Yes. Great Wall of China.
If you were born deaf...
Okay.
What language do you think in?
Yeah. Well, do you know? I mean,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Do you even know? I mean.
But I mean, you didn't hear English. You weren't read books.
Hmm.
But you look and know that's a chair. But what are you calling it? Because you've never heard anybody call it a chair.
Right. Well, if somebody sign languages you what that is. You're right. What do you think? What do you think? Yeah. What language are you thinking?
I close my eyes and say, in my head, I say, I just said chair in my head.
Yeah.
I looked and went, that's a chair.
Yeah. Wow.
Mind-boggling. This is a little section called,
Yeah, that's...
A little section of the podcast called,
Okay.
Now, talking about, you know, reading to your kids. Parents read to their kids when they're little to put them to sleep. But then these kids go to college or go to school and get read to, and teachers expect them to stay awake.
Stay awake, right. Right. Well... I see what you're saying. Very interesting. Is that one of the, what is that, one of those you drive on a parkway, but you park in the driveway type of things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We call bacon, and we call, what is it? Cookies or something like that, but you cook bacon and you bake cookies. Let's see. How about this one? An octopus is just a wet spider. I can't get that one out of my head now.
Okay, I'm going to let that one go. Okay.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Okay.
They have 8 tentacles, just like 8 legs. Yeah. It's just a water version of a spider. Crazy. Okay.
Or is a spider a dry octopus?
You walk up to that door right there and you knock on it. Show me how you do it. Show me. How do you knock on that door? Just from right there.
How do I?
With your hand, yeah.
With my hand, yeah. How do I knock on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So why do we raise our hand to knock? Why wouldn't we just knock?
Come down here and knock.
Yeah, it's an extra step to go. You watch people knock on the door, they're all up high.
Yeah, okay. Interesting, okay.
Interesting, right? A couple more here. Right? These are oddball questions.
No, it's all good.
Let me get you thinking, right? The other one talking about the voice in your head, you can't change your volume in your head. When you think internally, it's one volume.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. This falls in the everything in between category.
Everything in between. How about that?
Sports, life, and everything in between.
100 years ago, everyone owned horses, but only the rich owned cars. Now, everyone owns cars, but only the rich own horses. 100 years ago.
Times have changed.
Times have changed.
And times do change. Yep.
Times are continually changing. I'm almost done. These are goofy ones.
No, that's good.
Why do schools punish kids who miss school by making them miss more school?
Yeah, right. That's something to think about right there. Right, yes. There.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, as I'm writing this one down, I'm like, at my old high school, Bourne High School, you'd get in-school suspension. So you'd get in trouble for doing something like skipping school by having to come to school and sit in a room.
Yeah.
And do your work like it was in-school suspension. But some schools, you skip school, they're going to suspend you for a day.
And you got to go home.
Just go skip more school, right?
Yeah.
Ah, something different. No, that's good. I was trying to come up with ideas. I don't know.
That's good stuff.
Good stuff. All right, let's go back. Let's go NFL.
Okay.
Go in another top 10.
Yep.
This is a pretty interesting one. I'd say, let's try to get you five of these top 10. Ready?
Okay.
10 oldest NFL quarterbacks since the merger.
Since the merger. Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is number 9.
Okay.
41 years old.
Earl Morrill.
Earl Morrill is huge that you got that. Number 7. You know, and I know why you got him, because he played for the Dolphins. Yeah, 42 years old. I did not think you'd get that. And I actually wrote Dolphins next to it because I'm like, let me see if he'll get Dolphins. Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is number 2.
2.
45 years old.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is not on the
he'll
list.
He'll be 40, actually. Yeah, yeah. I guess he
and so the bottom 10th is 41.
He's 41. Okay, yeah.
Some cool names in here. Some cool names.
About Johnny Unitas.
Nope.
No, huh? Okay. Nope. Joe Namath.
Nope.
No, really? I don't know. He played when he ended his career with the Rams. Okay.
Start giving you some hints. Ready?
Bart Starr?
Nope.
No. Wow. Okay.
How about Boston College?
Boston College.
First Miami, the miracle.
I was going to say the only one I remember is Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie.
Yeah. How old was Doug Flutie?
43.
Was he 40? I didn't realize he was that old.
When
he
2 years younger than Brady.
Brady, oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. Okay.
Let's go. All right, let you keep guessing. I'm going to give you some hints along the way.
Okay. Roger Staubach.
Nope. You got one pretty old name. Two or three when we were kind of youngins.
Okay.
One that just retired not too long ago. All-time leader in a couple categories.
Not too long ago, huh?
I mean, he was phenomenal quarterback. I think he does some announcing now.
Okay.
How about the old Houston Oilers?
The old Houston Oilers, they had... Warren Moon.
Warren Moon.
Yeah, right. He did play a very long time.
43
right.
years old.
Warren Moon. How about the Roman Gabriel?
Nope. Oh, that would have been a good one, but no, he's not top 10. Yeah. I'm going to give you 10 because I don't think you'll get 10. Okay. Mark Brunell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did play right. He was a lefty. He was a lefty.
41.
Lefty. Yeah.
We'll go, and I'm going to give you 3 because I don't think you'll get 3.
Okay.
Steve DeBerg.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, right. He
44 years
yeah.
old.
Yeah. Chiefs, Niners. So, yeah.
Yeah. I still want to try to give you a hint here. Let's see.
Okay. One left.
I'll give you some teams. New Orleans.
Oh, Kenny Stabler.
Nope.
The Snake, no? Because I think he ended his career there, didn't he? Okay. New Orleans quarterbacks. It can't be Drew Brees. No.
Drew Brees.
Is it Drew Brees?
42.
I didn't realize he was
42. That's what I said. He was just recent. Has some records.
He was recent. You're right. I didn't realize he was 42, right? He played longer than records. I realized.
I think he's commentating now. I'm pretty sure he's a commentator now.
Yeah.
let's see.
That's all of them?
No, it's two more.
Oh,
two
more.
You still don't have number one. He's an old school dude.
It's two to go.
To be honest with you, I don't even know what team he played on. George Blanda is the oldest.
Oh, you know what? Raiders.
Raiders.
Yeah.
48 years old.
Yeah, you know, I should have known that one. Just forgot about him.
The
yeah.
only one you're missing is I'll give you initials. It should help. Number 4. Initials are VT.
Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny Testaverde. Yeah. I mean, how many V's are there?
My dad will be watching this telling me he probably yelling
at the
George Blanda, Michael George Blanda.
George Blanda, you better say Blanda. Yeah, George Blanda.
Yeah, Vinny Testaverde did play. He was, geez, how old
44.
Was he? 44. Yeah, I was going to say about 43, 44.
He was just,
44,
just behind Brady.
He did play a very long
Steve
time.
Steve DeBerg and him were 44.
Yeah.
Warren Moon, Doug Flutie, 43.
Yeah.
I can't believe you got Morrell.
Morrell, yeah. And
that's
huge.
I
remember that, yeah.
And then Breeze, Brett Favre, Mark.
And I did forget about Blanda. I should have known that. But that's what happens. You can't remember everything. No, that's great. I like that one. That's awesome right there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a real good one, yeah.
Let's see. We're getting to... we're going to circle back a little bit to the... pick your brain on this one. You know, yeah. I don't know if you've seen today, but it looks like the Lakers are going to offer Dan Hurley a bag of money.
Yeah.
And there's more negative talk, and I kind of can tell by your what do you think of that?
Lakers can offer them, right? They can offer whoever they want, I guess.
Offer whatever they want,
whoever,
as much as
whatever they want, right?
Yep.
NBA is a different ballgame.
NBA is a different ball.
Different, I mean, look, you had an ex-Laker, ex-NBA player coach in the Lakers already.
They're all ex-NBA
and they're all,
players.
And he's out.
And he's out.
Like I said before, the Laker, I think Magic lasted 16 games coaching the Lakers. Yeah. It's tough. Look at Jerry Tarkanian tried to make the jump, right? That didn't quite work out.
Patino. I mean, you can put it on the list.
Patino was all right, I guess. We had, you know, a couple stints.
Yeah.
It's just such a different game. I don't know Hurley's at all, obviously.
Well, Dan never played in the NBA.
He never played in the NBA. You know, he played coaching, the game, of course, but...
His coaching lineage is of lore. Like, it's, you know, he comes from the best.
He comes from
the best. But if you watch any videos on how he coaches to get his result, that will not work.
It will not, because he speaks his mind.
Oh, he speaks his mind. His demand level is through the roof.
That's
not going to work with guys that are number one... your age or younger, and I'm not saying you can't have a young coach, but number two, these guys make $80 million.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I know that stuff sounds trivial, but the reality is I think he's just too fiery.
Yeah,
I think he's too fiery. But now here's the spin on it. The spin is that the Lakers really want Bronny James
at
55.
Yep, go ahead.
And they want a coach that will create a development culture with their G League team and start to develop something. They're saying that the Lakers, and this is all, you know, sports talk radio, they're saying that the Lakers see the shift in the NBA where it's become younger talent like Ant-Man, like the guys down in Houston, the two kids are Green, and I mean, just this massive amount of young talent. And even, Luke is only 25 years old.
Yeah.
But they're seeing that there's this young wave of talent, the Victor Wembanyama's in this, and that there's going to be a shift in coaching away from the Greg Popovich's and away from the old school style and kind of more towards the Missoulas and kind of more towards Eric Spoelstra's, where it's like a little bit more kumbaya, a little bit more rah-rah, a little bit more team first, a little bit less about just be the manager of people.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, but what comes with that is LeBron. Is LeBron going to allow Hurley... How's LeBron going to allow Hurley to coach his son? And that, see, Dan, to me, I don't know. LeBron wants to play with his son. You got both of these kids on the, both of these guys on the team, LeBron and his son. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in this, but to me, this is that's going to become a circus, man.
It is. It's definitely going to be a circus.
It's going to be a circus. And then you got Hurley, who coaches the way he coaches, like we just talked about. And he's going to have to defer to LeBron, and LeBron's going to... To me, LeBron's going to want to run the show if his son's on the team.
He's going to want to run the show, whether it's J.J. Redick, whether it's Dan Hurley. And you know what? Who was it? Who was it on First Take? One of those guys said, let's make LeBron the coach.
Yeah,
like,
do
why
that.
Why not at this point? Like, and none of this is bad. What's funny is, you know... I'm not saying they can't make some trades and make a run. They're not going to win with their current roster. It's not happening. Right. Like adding LeBronny and whoever else they get in the draft is probably not going to make. So they got to make some trades. They got to make some moves. Are they going to win an NBA championship with anything close to what they have, including with LeBron? No, it's not going to happen. So, I think, in my opinion, LeBron's going to get Bronny there. They're going to make it all happen. Yeah. However they make it happen, play a couple games together. And then Bron starts doing his rocking chair tour. Yes. He's done. I mean, he can't go much longer. Yeah. And I think he just wants the experience of being a father-son duo in the NBA, which I don't fault him for.
No, you know the feeling of that.
I did it with Trent in a summer league church league here. I played in a team, and it was pretty cool. I got to play,
a
men's league with my son.
Right.
And I was better, but...
And you got to coach him. And But if I
just
was early...
Just a little swimmy.
If I was Hurley, I'd stay away from that, man. That's just me. He'll get other shots to coach in the NBA.
But it's the Lakers.
It is the Lakers.
But
I get that.
They're going to throw him like $40 million.
And they will. And the Connecticut, just they extended him at the end of, not this previous one, but the one before.
L.A.
But,
will quadruple what
Connecticut they will. They'll throw the money at him. Depends what Hurley wants to do. He's got a great thing going in UConn anyways.
He does. He's but got, you also it, know that, you know, it's... Back-to-back is extremely difficult. Three in a row is almost impossible.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's losing two huge pieces to his puzzle. That instant money, regardless, that guaranteed NBA coaching money. And look, I don't think they're telling him, you got to come in here and be successful. I think they're going to give him the keys to the car and say, build something with this new style of, you know, let's really develop in the G League. But I'm not saying it's going to work or if it's right or wrong, but it's... I think it's odd. I thought J.J. Redick, and of course, again, I'm a Duke guy. I think J.J. Redick talk was a little bit more because him and LeBron do a podcast. They're like-minded. That you can tell that they understand things. I think J.J. would be the type of coach where LeBron can have a massive amount of input and everybody be okay with it. Danny Hurley, I don't know if that's with a Hurley brand, man, going back to his dad.
Yeah, he's... like I said, if I was early, I'd stay away from that situation.
Yeah.
Just, I know you're going to get thrown a ton of money at you. He'll get other offers to coach in the NBA.
Well,
you know what I mean?
This is a great segue to the Coach's Corner.
Here we go.
Great segue. And I didn't even plan it this way. So, Dan Hurley doesn't have to coach the Lakers.
Right.
He kind of gets to coach the Lakers. That's a short list of amazing coaches that have been there. Sure. And of course, you're going to have your Darvin Hams and your, you know, people that come and go. But the get to and have to, or the have to and get to conversation I just had with my players yesterday.
Okay.
I try to make videos. I got it from ET, Eric Thomas. Thank God it's Monday. We love what we do, right? So everybody says, thank God it's Friday to get away from what they do. We love what we do. So thank God it's Monday. We get another work week, right? Another week to get better, another week to do things. It's me, myself, and my current job. Yeah. Thank God it's Monday. I love what I do. Love what I do. Thursdays, look at us. This is, I mean, come on. What's better than this?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get my new players. I have quite a few new players and some of my old players. I gave them the talk about have to and get to, and how they have to change their self-talk when it comes to what you're about to do, whether it's basketball, school, home, whatever it is start replacing have to with get to in everything that you talk about. So instead of I have to get up at 8 a.m. to go to workouts, I get to get up at 8 a.m.
There you go.
Instead of I have to get my car fixed that was broken down, I get to get it fixed. I have the money to do it. I have the resources to do it. I'm lucky that I'm able to drive a car because I just went through that with all the cars in our house. So I'm trying to get my athletes to understand I have to condition to get ready for the season. No, you get to. You get to, because there's only so many roster spots in college basketball, and you're in one of them. Yeah,
yes.
So you get to train and you get to condition to get ready for that preseason, August 5th or August 26th, whatever that date is for the different sports, is you get to get in here and condition. And when you talk about have to and get to, if you start replacing everything in your life that you say have to with get to and try to find a positive spin on it, it just makes you have a better day.
Right. Absolutely.
Crazy.
No, it's good.
Get to and have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow, how about that?
Where we at?
45 minutes on the dot. I mean, and I'm through everything. Yeah. I don't think we talked about, what did we have for lunch today?
Habit Burger.
Habit Burger. So Brooklyn recommended to me years ago, actually, about Habit Burger, and you had a friend
at work that recommended it to eat. He put that at the top of his list for burgers.
Yep. So I got some burgers. I got some green bean fries. I got some garlic parm fries. We both had it, and it's okay.
It's okay. Still take In and Out.
Yeah, I'll still take Fat Burger.
Still do the Fat Burger. I'll still take Five Guys.
It was okay. It was a good. I said it was a fair burger, like a county fair burger. It's pretty good.
It was good, but
And I'm gonna surprise you and have a CSN burger one of these days waiting for you here. But we had the food and man, we knocked off everything on the list in 45 minutes and 55 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Mom earlier. I go, Ma, before you know it, our 45 minutes is up, boom.
Boom.
It goes by fast.
Just like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you guys for tuning in live. Eric Lopes with the Fubu Doodoo Fufu. Appreciate you. Celtics in 7. I'm with you. I'll hold you to that. And if you're watching the replay, we appreciate you tuning in. And look forward to next week. We'll have a couple NBA finals. It won't be done, but we'll have a couple NBA finals under our belt to chat about. And if you want to send over anything through Facebook or through Instagram, any topics you'd like to hear us talk about, please do. And let's do it again next week.
Let's do it again.
Number 12 next week.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys soon. Yep. See you.